this talk was about nitrogen. I'm going to go back to some of the work we've been doing with phosphorus. This is going to be in a continuous cotton situation. This is going to be from Tribbett at the satellite farm there. This particular test, we started out to evaluate both P rate and the Avail product that Dr. Gordon mentioned earlier. We've done a little bit of work with that over the years. We did that project for 3 years. Then we're also wanting to try to look at one of the things that's really, and I think Leo mentioned this earlier, we see a lot of fluctuations in soil test levels with time and over years. So we're wanting to look at, you know, what's happening to these residual soil P levels with time. So as I mentioned earlier, and you've seen information on the Avail product, I'm going to just jump through this type thing because Dr. Gordon covered most of this information, so that helps me a lot. This location is, again, at our satellite farm at Tribbett. It is a continuous cotton field. It's been that way now we've had it, I guess, since 95, so it's been basically 20 years of continuous cotton. This particular test is a randomized complete block. It has 6 replications in there. The P rates, and these are in terms of pounds of P per acre, 0, 20, 40, 60 pounds of P per acre. The source in this case is concentrated superphosphate, 0.460, and the Avail treatment was either an untreated P rate or with a 5 gallon per ton of Avail, which is the recommended rate at the time we used it. That figures out to be 94 mils per hundred weight. This is the way the field lays out. Those were 75-foot long plots with 6 replications. Getting into the results, I put the analysis of variance in here to start with for the treatments. Those combination of 8 treatments, if you look at the for seed cotton lint in 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, the only time we ever saw any significance whatsoever was with respect to lint cotton, and there was really no reason that there made much sense here. We couldn't see any kind of a pattern. This would have been at the 1% level. This is at the 9% level. If we looked at the interactions between the P rates and with and without Avail, there was no significant differences here. In 2014, we did see again a 2014, we did get this particular one ginned before it broke. So one test I have lint yields on right here. But there was no Avail added. The last time Avail was added in this study was in 2012. So we're looking at the residual effects now more of the phosphorus than anything else. If we look at the P rate effects, again, looking at lint going across on this row right here, there was no response to phosphorus. In fact, if you look in 2014, the probability of a greater F is 93%. So that tells you there's very little differences whatsoever. Again, there was no effect looking at the lint percent here with the Avail product. Again, that was added earlier. This is actual treatment differences here. Now, this, again, remember, is a dry land situation. So you can see that we have quite a bit of difference in yield. If you look at 2011, which was a pretty dry year for us, notice that the yields in this case are all pretty much in the 550 to 600 pound, that's lint cotton yields. 2013 or 12, 13, and 14, we're pushing that 1400 to 1500 pound or 2.5 to 3 bale cotton dry land. So those are really good yields. And if you look across the bottom, one of the things that we see is that even though the yields are high, there seems to be more variability out there. LSD in this case is 150 pounds of lint, which was, again, not significant. This is averaged across the Avail treatment here, again, with respect to yield and an average across all those years, and there's no differences with any of the P effect. Now, one of the reasons that we're starting to look at this, okay, if we start looking, this is some numbers that I put together several years ago. IPNI now has an actual calculator that you can use to calculate nutrient uptake and nutrient removal. This was developed from about 3 or 4 different sources using some averages. We calculate the amount of N removal or nutrient removal, N, P, K, and S on these different crops. We can estimate about how much material that we're actually losing. In this case, with a 1,000-pound Lent cotton yields, we're looking at about a 12 pound of pea removal, and 1,000 pounds of lint, we're actually removing 64 pounds of N, 33 pounds of K, and 6 pounds of sulfur. So if we start thinking about that, and we're out there putting out 0, 20, 40, and 60 pounds of pea, even that 20 pounds of pea is almost twice what we were going to remove with a 1,000-pound lint crop. So what you would expect to happen then, of course, in our system, the recommendations, if we're in the high-testing P range and K range, we don't recommend, in most cases, any P or K. We start recommending when we're in the soil test levels in the medium range here, and I didn't put those, I think, on cotton. That's about 72, I believe it is, pounds of pea per acre is our breakout for medium. Anything less than that, anything basically less than 70, is going to fall into the medium range, and we're going to be recommending phosphorus in that situation. This is the soil test data. Now, I've tried to plot these on the same scale. So this is 2010. We made our first pea applications in the spring of 2010. We made the second application, in other words, when we followed up the treatments, we made the next application in the fall of the year. So 2010, these soil samples were taken after the first pea application, but before the second pea application. Then in 11, it's going to be before the third pea application, et cetera. Then after that, we stopped making pea application, and now we're just monitoring. So this is 2010. This is soil test pea after that first application. So look, notice that even with the 40 pound of pea application, that we ended up with actually quite a bit higher pea levels than we did with the 60 pounds. So this goes back to some of those things talking about what, now we're looking at a small percentage of the total pea in the field. So that's really important to keep in mind. Now 2011, okay, we actually see that these numbers, you know, in 2010, we were sowing soil test levels at the 40 pea application rate of 150. So now we're down to 130, and yet we've made a 40-pound pea application. So that makes you start thinking about, you know, the accuracy of the pea test and the variation that we're actually seeing in the field. So I'm trying to support some of the things that Leo's been talking about. Dr. Larry Oldham is Extension Soils guy with Mississippi State is actually doing some monthly sampling at a couple of plots I have at Stoneville, looking at P and K and pH every month, and we've been doing this now. We're into the third year of that, looking at those just cycles of what's happening in the field. This is 2012. The Z, notice that at the zero in 2012, we're actually up now at 120. We've actually been removing, because this has all been pretty much at least 1,000 pound except for 2011 yields. So now we're looking at removing that 12 pounds of pea, but the soil test pea is actually going up. So I'm not going to provide explanations of why that's happening. I'm going to let you think about that, mainly because I don't have an answer. But this is 2013. Now look at the 60 pound. All of a sudden we're up. It's in the same stair step that you would expect to be in, where you've got 130, 140, 150, 160. Now, in 2013, we haven't applied any additional pea. But now remember that this is conventional tillage. This material is applied to the surface before any fall tillage. We use, sometimes it's going to be in-row subsoiling afterwards. Sometimes we use it 45 degrees. Depends on what the station feels like doing that day. Now, it just depends on the, you know, this is a tricky soil to work with. So, but in this case, it's more of that stair step effect. This is 2014 data. Again, we see the same stair step. It's fairly uniform now, but it has dropped down from the previous year, and that's what you would expect as you grow a crop. You would expect to be pulling it down some. But now this is 2014. The first soil samples were in 2010, and the zero soil test level is pretty much the same, and we've pulled 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. We pulled five crops off of here. So we would have thought we would have changed that, but not necessarily so. So this is the, looking at these again, the extractable, what I'm calling extractable soil test P, in terms of across those years. And if you look at the zero right here, you can see the variation that's happened across the field where we put no P, but look at the changes in soil test or soil extractable P. Good question. Bobby Golden is doing a lot of work now with looking at our P and K recommendations, our correlation and calibration. So there's not a lot of money in looking at those kind of things. We don't have a fertilizer checkoff program like the guys over in Arkansas that really work with that. So we're only running anywhere from 25 to 35,000 samples through our lab at Mississippi State. But it's really interesting to look at some of these things. One of the things I wanted to do now, just to quickly go over, you know, we're very much interested in being able to optimize fertility. You know, we use those 4 hours, the right source or product applied at the right time in the right place. Now, we're going to use that information to try to analyze the study that I just talked about. You know, this is the framework behind the best management practices. So, you know, the primary goal is to match the fertilizer nutrients to the crop requirements. Okay, we want to manage that fertilizer. We want to minimize the loss from the field. And this leads to the economically sound situation. So if we keep those in mind now, okay, then we've got five basic questions we want to ask. Are the fertilizers necessary? How much fertilizer is going to be economical? And what fertilizers are available? You know, in this case, we're talking about phosphorus fertilizers. When's the best time to apply, whether it's going to be in the spring or in the fall? In our case, we recommend fall applications of our P and K so that we can incorporate that material with every practice we do. We don't make a special trip to incorporate our fertilizer material. We want to do that all with every kind of tillage practice that we look at. So, you know, when is the best time to apply, and how can we maximize the effectiveness? Well, now, based on the study that I just showed you, we go back to the first question, was the fertilizer necessary? No. We were already at a high level. So adding additional fertilizer in this situation, we would not have expected it. And adding something like a veil or any kind of a nutrient enhancement type product, if the fertilizer is not needed, then why would you want to apply it? You know, how much fertilizer is economical? In this case, if we didn't get a response, then none's economical. So this goes back again, and I do all this to bring up to my soapbox, which is soil testing. And it's hard for you to be able to manage a fertilizer needs if you don't know what your situation is. You know, phosphorus and potassium prices went up to $1,100 a ton. Now, a farmer calls and says, how much, you know, can I cut out potash? Well, what's your soil test? I don't know. I don't know either. My recommendation is if you've been doing it and you don't know what your tests are, you're going to have to keep doing it. So it's very important that we know what our situation is. So that was my soapbox for today. In this case, we saw no significant response to phosphorus rates, but we were in a high-test soil. So we shouldn't expect that. You know, we saw really good yields, except for 2011. We just got to get lucky on these soils without irrigation. You can see there can be a 2 to 3-fold difference depending on the availability of moisture. So the last point, soil test routinely and follow the recommendations. If we tell you as a producer, as a consultant, that I don't think you need to be making a P and K application, then it's best that you not. I mean, it's going to cost you money. If the probability of getting a response is minimal, then or non-existent, then it's going to cost you money to do that. So with that, I do have 40 seconds, John.
I got time. We got time for a couple of quick questions.
Yes, sir. The question was the pH of these soils. In this study, it had been limed at one point in time in there. We were running in the neighborhood of the low sixes. We dropped down into the fives. We came in and limed. So right now, 2014, we're running in a pH of the 6.5 to 7 range.
When you were talking about the phosphorus, you felt like there were high
Okay, I'm a Mississippi State employee. I follow Mississippi State recommendations. In this case, the recommendations were for none. If it falls below about 70 to 80 pounds of extractable pea, then in my situation, I would probably start looking at pea applications there because of the, you know, it may be a 50-50 chance of seeing a response, but in a really good year where we've got the potential, say, for 1,600 pound rain-fed conditions, I would rather have enough gas in the tank to get me to the gas next gas station if I need to. I better quit. I'm sorry? No, this is Mississippi State still uses Lancaster. So this is Lancaster.